Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm Rick Vanover and this is a special episode live from VMworld in Las Vegas. I apologize for my voice, but it has been a busy day thus far. I guess this is day two now. I've got with me two guests and I'll take a moment to introduce them. First up is Greg Stewart. How are you doing, Greg?
Good. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well. Greg, can you take a moment and tell everybody about yourself?
Sure, yeah. My name is Greg Stewart. I'm a blogger. My website is vdestination.com, and my Twitter handle is at vdestination. You can follow me there. I try to keep up on the tweets as much as I can. I am a blogger. My hobby is blogging. My daytime job is a director of IT at a charter school in Arizona. So I keep busy, and in my free time, the free time that I have, I do as much blogging as I can.
Awesome, and you have done something that's really cool, and I'm happy to also introduce Cherie Stewart. How you doing, Cherie?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, and so you're Greg's wife, is that right?
Yes.
Mrs. V Destination.
Awesome. Yes. So I was talking to Cherie earlier, and we've all seen these tweets about spouse activities, this and that, and due to some other circumstances, Cherie, you weren't able to participate this year, but you were able to participate last year. Can you take a moment and talk about that experience, and then also what it's like to go to some of the, you know, the parties and some of the other social events at VMworld for, you know, the spouse that, you know, is like not sure if they think they should go. I personally am trying to get my spouse to come, but she's not so sure. So I'm wanting to hear it from you.
Sure. I understand the apprehension about not going. I originally didn't want to go last year when it was my husband's first year, but he showed me the spouse activities. I was surprised that none of them had anything to do with the technical side of things going on at VMworld. The activities are very well planned, and there's a wide range of things to do. They had things from going to wine tastings to cooking shows to all sorts of things. I think there's something for everybody. And this year they actually had great things planned, but I was unfortunately put to work, so I don't get to go. But they have breakfast, they have lunch, they have parties planned for just the spouses, men and women spouses. And like I said, there's a wide array of things to do. And I really was nervous coming last year that I would be bored and that I would be drug along and stuck in a hotel room. And it was a nice surprise. We had a lot of fun. And I made some friends and we got to hang out. I even went to a few museums with them last year. So there are definitely things to do for spouses.
That's great. That's great. I really appreciate all the effort that Crystal and Scott, to an extent, have put in to that program. And still working on my own charge to get my wife to go. So that's awesome. So Greg, you know, this is a busy week. I'll be honest with you, it hurts, okay? My voice, for one, hurts, but it's just tough to take it all in and be everywhere and do everything. And for me this year, it's exceptionally tough with my new responsibilities at Veeam. This is my first time working for a vendor here at VMworld, and it's a lot different, and honestly, it's a lot busier. I thought it was busy before. How are you coping with all of this?
You know, Rick, it is really at times painful, but the thing of it is I get ready during the day, I get ready for the morning, I'm really excited, I get there, I'm really excited, and there's so much going on that, you know, you forget about what's going on with your body, et cetera, because it's a really tiring thing. I remember talking to my wife, actually, as we got home last night, and I plopped down in bed. I'm thinking, man, it feels like Thursday after day one. I mean, we've been here since Sunday night, but, man, day one was really, really has taken a second for me to get conditioned to it. So today's a little bit better, but my feet are paying for it because there's just so much to see and so much to do, and you're just coming and going different areas of the hotel and the conference center. The Solutions Exchange floor is incredible. It is really big, and there's lots to see and do there, and fortunately they do have some nice padded carpet and areas to relieve your feet, but it's definitely, it can be overwhelming for a new person coming for the first time.
It is, and couple that with the natural overstimulation that is Las Vegas, and it could be an overwhelming experience.
Yeah, you know, I thought that was one thing that I was slightly concerned about this year. last year at San Francisco, when I had found out they announced they were going to have it in Vegas this year, I'm thinking, man, that's, knowing how overwhelming it was, I couldn't imagine it being in Vegas. But I'm like pleasantly surprised, just because, like today, I went into the hotel this morning at 9 o'clock, started going in there, getting breakfast, getting set up, and get blogging, and we just came out at like 5 p.m. and we had been inside all day long, so the distractions haven't really caused too much of a problem for us. I would hope that it doesn't cause a lot of problems for other people, but I can see how it would. So it's definitely a balance.
Sure, sure. And you hit a point on the shoe, on the feet, and it's tough when you have to wear fancy shoes to, you know, keep your feet comfortable. It's actually a challenge I need to work on. Hey, I'm honest. I don't hide anything on this podcast. So was there any particular announcement? And I know, and if you haven't checked it out, everyone, Greg posted last week some of his favorite features of vSphere 5. He was kind enough to do a guest blog post, and we were happy to have him do that. Has there been anything from the announcements, or maybe a partner thing that you've seen, or the keynotes or anything, Greg, that caught your interest thus far?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed watching the keynote address from Paul Moritz, the CEO. It was really nice, really laid back this year. They really set up a nice environment outside the Solutions Exchange floor. They call it the Hang Space. And it's like a park-like setting. They got fake grass, real trees, fake trees. It's really just kind of tranquil, and they have this huge jumbotron. And so I was able to just really lay down, take a break, give my feet a break, and watch it on the jumbotron. And the things that jumped out at me were really just the statistics involved with VMware up until this point. And he's talking about there's more VMs created per second than there are babies in the United States. And
oh,
it's
wow.
Just, that's incredible. And also there's more vMotions in flight at any given time that there are actual flights in the air. So it's, you know, it's just kind of been a nice thing to see the impact that VMware is having and continues to have each year. So that's really what's jumped out at me so far.
You know, I was not able to attend the keynote yesterday, so I'll see if I can replay it or something, because I love little statistics and factoids like that. However, I was able to attend today's keynote, and Dr. Steve Harrod presented mostly, primarily around the View 5 announcement, and I haven't covered VDI or worked with it much, but I did take interest to some of the key principles. Basically, Harrod was explaining how, you know, it's really about the user and it's about the application, okay? Not so much the application, but the service, right? And it's the whole typical decoupling the infrastructure. Well, now we're going to decouple the device, but a couple of things caught my interest. I did appreciate and notice the lighthearted approach, everything from presentation style to the demoed examples, but they announced a project or some early on initiative that they're working on called Octopus, and that's a looking for the right word, file collaboration, data mobility solution, because the data has always been a really tough point in migrating to the cloud, you know, maintaining the GRC for data, you know, governance, compliance, and any types of restrictions or anything like that to go along, regulations and restrictions that go along with that. So I think that, you know, VMware's got their head in the right place, and they actually use the Dropbox example. I use Dropbox. Do you?
I use it too, and actually, the school that I work at, every student has a Dropbox account, and so it's a good solution.
Free account or paid?
Free.
Okay.
Free account. We haven't got there yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like it. I like a lot of those tools. There's things I don't like about Dropbox. There's things I like about ShareFile. There's, you know, all those different things. But I like the integration with the management stack, which is presumably what we would see with something like Octopus, you know, delivered from VMware. I really hope they come up with a better name. But I get the point. There's a lot of, you know, reaches into different places. You know, the phone, the iPad, the PC here, the PC there, all those different things. We use it a lot here in Veeam. And my boss, Doug Hazelman, has got me hooked on it to an extent. So, anyways, I'm excited about that. We'll be really interesting. It will be really interesting to see what comes down the pike in that sense. Well, the other thing that is pretty much central to VMworld this year is vSphere 5. It went GA last week, and you know, there's a lot of things that are new, and I should say improved on existing feature, existing functionality, and you know, a couple new offerings. Greg, were there, you know, anything within the vSphere 5 offering portfolio that caught your interest?
Well, yeah, sure. The you know, one of the impressive things that jumped out at me, you know, right off the bat was the whole Monster VM Monster VM thing. Was, you know, it's kind of a cutesy thing, but to think that you could create a virtual machine with 32 vCPUs and also a terabyte of RAM is kind of a, you know, that's really interesting. I don't know that anybody would go out there and be doing that. That'd be a lot of data center behind that, but I thought that was really interesting. And one of the main things that I really liked from this release is, you know, I see the I've seen a lot on the blogs, a lot of, you know, a lot of tweeting going around, and also in person, and dealing with some users that are Mac users and others that are Linux users. What I'm seeing is there's been an issue for a long time with the availability of a vSphere client on any platform, Linux, Mac, whatever your platform of choice is. There's obviously the PC one that's, you know, readily available, but to be able to have that and be able to manage your vSphere infrastructure from your platform of choice, I've always thought would be a great thing. And I know there's been Mac users that have been like, if you Google it, up until this point in time, you easily see hundreds of responses of where's the Mac, you know, where's the Mac client for vSphere. You know, and there's also a time where they came out recently with the vSphere client for the iPad, mm-hmm. and users are thinking, you know, we've got the vSphere client on the iPad. Well, where is it for the Mac? Well, let us manage our infrastructure how we want to. And so the great thing is the vSphere web client, which is one thing I talked about on a guest post I did. That was one of my main features that I liked about vSphere 5: the ability to, through the web on any platform in any web browser, you can actually reach your vSphere, you know, vSphere infrastructure using the web client. I believe there are still some limited functionality with it, and I'm sure that they will address that. And within no time here, we'll be seeing a fully supported version of the web client. So
sure.
That's really one thing that excites me the most, because I'm an administrator by heart, and I'm always looking for things to make my job easier. And you know, sometimes I've been in situations where it's a complete Mac shop, and our admin laptops were Macs. And we had to have Fusion on our Mac to then point to an XP box to then get to the vSphere client.
So. I'm sorry, it just kind of hurts, all that Mac love. You know what my saying is, if it's a Mac, send it back.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I'm not a Mac user. Okay. I have an iPad and an iPod, and those are my toys.
All right.
So, yeah.
So what else caught your interest? Was there anything else within the vSphere 5 offering?
Yeah, I also would say the vCenter server appliance.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time, it's been kind of a daunting task to set up your vCenter, especially for those of us that aren't, you know, DBAs, know our way around databases, know our way around, you know, different software packages. So,
sure.
You know, we started with having to actually have a separate VM, or physical server, if you will, to install vCenter on. And then you'd also have to have, which is a VMware best practice, a separate VM or physical server to install your database, whether it be, you know, SQL Server 2008 or Oracle. You had to have that for vCenter to work, and you had to have two separate instances of it. And the licensing gets really costly when you start doing that. And so the vCenter server appliance is really just a one-click deployment of that. It's really great, another great option with vSphere 5.
Yeah, I'm excited for that also. In fact, I have interest, like, in the Zimbra platform. I think that that's good stuff. I'm running that at home for my mail server at home. And I think that the vCenter server appliance will actually be very popular. I really think it will.
Absolutely.
And honestly, to the extent that, at least with the version 1 limitations, you know, it can only go up to like a certain amount of scale.
Sure.
Doesn't support, I think, SRM, Heartbeat, and maybe some linked mode, I think,
sure,
at this
sure.
point. I don't think that's going to deter people, honestly.
Sure. So. And we're, like you said earlier, we're talking about this one GA last week.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know, things are going to, you know, this is just the very beginning. We're going to see things be readily available here shortly.
Absolutely, absolutely. Myself, I'm excited for Storage DRS, simply because as an administrator, you know, up until my previous role, how many times do we go logging into our tool to look at data store latency, start moving around, and turn around and do the same thing next week, or the next day,
sure.
You know? So I think that having an automated solution is the way to go, and I've got a, you know, a little moniker for that, and it's, quote, that's the enterprise thing to do, all right, to have an automated solution, okay? So I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be good stuff. And I would be remiss if I didn't send a cheap plug out to my Solutions Exchange Theater presentation on Thursday in the Solutions Exchange Theater. The topic is some practical points on how to build a lab for storage DRS. So, you know, how to get started with that. I've got some, you know, some bullet points that you can take and go home with and chew on and get churning in the lab. Because really the goal is to understand the behavior.
Sure.
You know, it's one thing to look at the interface and all that, but I've got some just practical tips about how to go about getting a feel for the behavior. And it's actually tough because not everybody has SAN A, SAN B, SAN C just sitting around with different disks, because that's really where storage DRS will add some value to the virtual data center. So that's good stuff. Well, hey, let's wrap it up real quick. Greg, this is your first time on the podcast, and I have a gimmick. And my gimmick is called Three Views from You. And they're open-ended questions, and the first question is really based on your past. In your past, what's a kind of interesting technical story or experience of any type that you can share with us?
Sure. Thinking back on the past, most of my experience has been in the government space. So I've had some experiences that I can't talk about and some that I can't talk about.
Sure,
obviously.
Sure.
But some of the most recent ones that I can think of in my past were I worked at University of Maryland College Park, and I worked at a researcher site that did research and engineering on different government projects. And what was awesome was that every one of these guys was a researcher either at the PhD level already, or, you know, they were PhD candidates. And I mean, we're talking, these are young guys. These are 24, 25 year olds, just like genius, mm-hmm. genius child kind of thing. And so it was a really good opportunity to share my knowledge with them about things that, from a genius standpoint, it was interesting that they didn't know things specifically about VMware. And then there's things that were like completely mathematical and all these things that I had no idea about, and it was interesting how it was kind of the meeting of the minds in the middle, how it was interesting how you can be so intelligent on one thing, but so not lacking in intelligence on another thing. So it was interesting for me to be able to share my experiences with them, and working with these these different government projects, and it was really a lot of interesting government projects. You know, I had the opportunity to meet President Bush at one point in time.
Cool.
And that was great, great guy, and I was able to talk to him. And then, just a bunch of other things, and I wish I could share more of them, but...
No, it's good stuff.
Most of it has been in the government space, and there's lots of really cool government projects that I've worked on. But more recently, I was introduced to VMware through that College Park, the University of Maryland job. That's really where I got started with VMware, so that was a really good one.
Awesome. How about right now and today, and you know, your current responsibilities and your current extracurricular activities as a blogger, just generally speaking as a technologist, what do you have the most passion for today, technology-wise?
Technology-wise, is definitely virtualization. I see it as something that just makes sense, and I think it's something that we all wish would have been around a long time ago if we had the capabilities. But virtualization is definitely my passion at this point in time. I'm currently, like I said before, I'm a director of IT at a charter school in Arizona. Had the opportunity to be hired for that job about 2 months ago. Was doing contract work before that, and it's a really interesting, it's just this different point of view coming from government work, mm-hmm. going to, you know, from the public sector, going to the private sector. It's a whole different ball game. Even with virtualization, it's completely different situations in each. And so it's been really interesting. It's actually helped me as a blogger to be able to apply what I'm doing in the private sector to what I did in the public sector, and vice versa. So it's given me a good opportunity to do that, and also my passion is sharing the knowledge that I have with others. I think, you know, any of us that are in this VMware community have that same passion. That's evidenced by what goes on here at VMworld, obviously. But I think that, I really think virtualization is my passion. I don't foresee it not being my passion anytime soon. I spend the bulk of my free time that I do have, free time meaning after the kids are in bed.
Yeah, and, that's how it goes.
You know, the wife is set up with a TV show and everybody's happy. Then, you know, sometimes at 11:30 at night I have time to write a blog post. But I enjoy writing. There's so much to write about with VMware and virtualization as a whole. So that's really what my passion is right now.
Well, you know, the TV show could officially be classified as research.
It could.
It depends.
It
you know,
could.
You can't make a blanket statement like that. So
yeah.
No, I understand. I tell you, the blogosphere is born after 9 p.m. It really is. You know, it's just really, that's when it happens. You know, when
I'm on Pacific time, so I like to I like to make my blog posts at like midnight Pacific, so at least 3 a.m. Eastern, they're starting to get up and get things going. So.
And you're just in time for Europe then too, also.
Sure. Yeah.
So how about into the future? What are you looking for as a technologist that you see is the most exciting thing longer term?
Sure. As far as technology into the future, what I've seen from VMware so far is a focus that's really like enterprise-centric. And what I would like to see is more of a focus on the SMBs. There's obviously a reason why they focus on the enterprise so much. There's a lot of money involved in an enterprise situation, and not so much in a small to medium business or even an educational situation. So I would like to see some, with the new licensing model and everything, for an enterprise, it's an easy pill to swallow. For an SMB or an educational institution, it's a little bit harder because the bandwidth is not there, and a lot of the money is just not readily available. So what I would like to see from VMware is some sort of licensing model that's focused a little bit more on the SMB, maybe some features that are specific to the SMB or in the educational institution, just to let them into the game. Because it's really hard to get into the game, the virtualization game, with just vSphere standard licensing. I mean, there's so much that you can't do. I mean, you can't do vMotions. You're stuck doing cold migration, which makes for downtime, which is just not the... That's not the focus of VMware. We're talking about 99.9999% uptime is what we want with VMware, and that's what they offer. But you have to have the licensing in place. So as a technology, I'd like to see some better solutions for the SMB.
I hear you. Yep, I agree 100% because too many things start big, and they may not scale down. And that was actually a message of the keynote this morning. So I think that that's becoming a focus. I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's the short answer. Well, hey guys, I really appreciate your time today. Cherie, thank you for being on the podcast.
My pleasure.
And Greg, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, no problem.